Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be joined by the subjects and stars of the Clint Eastwood-directed film The 1517 to Paris. It's about the three young Americans who stopped a terrorist attack on a train in Europe and wound up saving the lives of 500 people. After that, writer Philip Kozlowski will be discussing the Christian history of the Irish island of Skellig Michael, which was featured in the recent Star Wars movies. Stay with us, Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up, I'm Tony Rossi. In 2015, longtime friends Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone were making their way from Amsterdam to Paris on a high-speed train. The three young Americans were simply enjoying a vacation together when they were thrust into history by the presence of a heavily armed terrorist intent on murdering everyone on board. As soon as they saw what was happening, they leapt into action, risking their own lives to save those of hundreds of others. Anthony, Alec, and Spencer have been hailed as heroes around the world, and they credit God with guiding and protecting them that day. Now they are not only the subjects of a new movie about the experience, but the stars of it as well. Directed by Clint Eastwood, it's called The 1517 to Paris. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Anthony Sadler, Alec Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone. Anthony, Alec, Spencer, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Now, you guys are in a unique position of playing yourselves in a movie that's not a documentary but a regular film. I don't know if it's been done. I think it was done maybe in World War II with Audie Murphy, but this is kind of a unique thing. When Clint Eastwood approached you about playing yourselves, how did you respond? What was your reaction?
I mean, our reaction was to say yes, right away. It was such a great opportunity. But then, I mean, once he left the room for the first time and we realized what we just said yes to, mm-hmm. and kind of realized the weight and the responsibility of it and the risk he's taking, we kind of, you know, started to get some doubts about it. But he was able to, you know, his confidence in us enabled us to say yes to it and be fully in.
Sure, sure. Did you guys have any fanboy moments with Clint Eastwood? I mean, you know, he's a Hollywood icon.
We tried to keep it down a little bit because we'd met a few people before that mm-hmm. that were also famous, so we kind of knew how to act. But in our heads, we were definitely freaking out because we've all been Clint Eastwood fans since we were, like, little kids. And
sure.
just to have him directing our movie was just, I honestly... We couldn't believe it. It was just such a great honor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you saw the story play out on screen, when you watched the finished film for the first time, how did that feel for you guys? Was it like your memories come to life?
Yeah, it was so surreal. It was just like our lives on screen in Clint Eastwood's interpretation. But it was even funnier than that just because we literally got to portray ourselves too. So the main thing through the whole process before we even started where we're just like, we want to be happy with the finished product because this is going to be like the visual representation to our story forever.
Yeah.
So the major thing to us was we wanted to be happy with it. And as soon as we were done, we all looked at each other and we were very content with the finished product. And if anything, the film is accurate to our lives and our experience. So we're happy with that.
Yeah. I'm talking to Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone. They are the stars of the movie, The 1517 to Paris. They're not only the stars, they actually lived it. Now, one of the things the movie touches on is the God factor in this story. And it's something you've all talked about in various interviews. How did you come to see God's hand in what happened and how everything worked out?
Honestly, it was pretty much throughout kind of the whole movie. Just, I mean, even like hindsight's always 20/20, but looking back, you could see our whole lives leading up to that moment without us even knowing it, even based on the training that Spencer and I had in the military. It all kind of just played out perfectly. And of course, the odds of being in a terrorist attack and the way it played out, I mean, there's a lot of discussion that we wouldn't have even been there in that time and place. And then all the coincidences that kept us alive and things that went our way.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to kind of not see God's hand or, you know, some sort of fate working in our favor.
Sure. Did any of you have time to whisper even a quick prayer before you jumped into action to stop the terrorist? Or was it all just instinct and action at that point?
There wasn't a whole lot of time to think. It was only a few seconds before we got up and did anything. So there wasn't time to pray. But after the fact, there was a guy shot by the name of Mark McGallion, who actually also plays himself as well in the movie, along with his wife and several other people that were involved in the train that day.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to say a prayer with him, but he politely declined in the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, Spencer, you especially, I mean, the terrorist basically aimed at you and shot his gun, and it didn't go off. As you were running towards him and seeing this was happening, especially now in retrospect, were there a lot of prayers of gratitude to God for the way that played out for you in your life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when does that ever happen? You know,
yeah.
That's such a rare thing to happen in a moment like that with one of the most reliable weapons on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was definitely a lot of prayers of gratitude up to God for that one.
Sure.
Because that would have changed the whole course of the event. I'd be dead and probably hundreds of other people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone about their movie, The 1517 to Paris, and also their life, about them stopping the terrorist attack in 2015 on the train from Amsterdam to Paris. Anthony, I know your dad is a minister. I think you guys were recently at Shiloh Baptist Church in Sacramento, your hometown, where you were honored at the church. So I just want to ask each of you guys, Anthony, starting with you, how did the seeds of faith get planted in your life in a way that made them really take root?
It's all credit to my dad. He's a pastor currently. But growing up, he wasn't a pastor at the time, but we had just always went to church all the time. It's my whole family does for the most part, so it's just a strong foundation that I grew up with. But I think what made it important for me is my dad told me that, even as a kid, that he was just giving me the foundation that there'd be a time where, you know, I'd be 18 and I'd move out and I'd be on my own, and it'd be really up to me to make my own choices in life at that time to see, like, if I was going to continue my own journey with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit him for doing that, because it actually made me attentive when I was an adult and I could make my own decisions, that it was important to keep that relationship. And I'm glad I did, because people are often looking for, like, a biblical moment of confirmation that he exists. And I feel like at such a young age, at 23 years old at the time, that we got that big confirmation that he exists. Because just surviving that kind of situation in the manner that we survived it, you just can't look at anybody else really but God, really.
Yeah, absolutely. God was definitely present that day. Alec, what about you, your history of faith? Was it implanted in you by your parents or somebody else?
Definitely my mother. And we grew up in the church, obviously, and having Spencer and Anthony and going to a Christian school for a while all helped that for sure. And then just, like, my own personal interest in reading the Bible is what kept me going a lot of times, especially in Afghanistan. And, you know, lately when we've been too busy to go to church very often.
Yeah. And how about you, Spencer? Where does the faith come from in your life?
I was kind of raised going to church by my mom. So I think it started there. But I think what really makes the difference is that, at a certain point, I was able to distinguish between people telling me that God is there and working in my life and feeling it and seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And making that recognition in my life was what really kind of cemented it. And like Anthony said, everything that's happened since the attack, during the attack as well, was only a confirmation that he's there and he's working in our lives. So, I mean, it's there forever, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone about the 1517 to Paris. You guys all mentioned your moms, and I read a quote from the screenwriter of the movie, Dorothy Bliskell, I think is her name, and she said that your relationships with your mothers really stood out to her. So I'm curious, how did your moms make you who you are? You know, whichever one of you wants to start off.
Spencer. My mom raised myself, my brother, and my sister, all by herself. No child support, anything like that. Just, you know, working full time as she can. I feel like, you know, made me into a hard worker and to be always appreciative and treat people well. And so I'm just very grateful to her and
and I love her, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I should point out, Spencer, your mom is played in the movie by Judy Greer, and Alec,
Judy
your mom,
Greer.
Judy Greer, and Alec, your mom is played by Pam from The Office, Jenna Fisher herself. But tell me a little bit about your real-life mom that Jenna based the role on.
Well, honestly, she pretty much knows the entire character, just how my mom acts, you know, very sweet and kind. So we were very surprised with how well she pulled it off, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's an excellent actress, and we're a huge fan of her from The Office. But, I mean, if you ever get to meet my mom, then you get to meet Jenna Fisher, you'll see it right there. She just did a fantastic job.
Okay. And Anthony, how about you?
For me, it's really my dad is the guiding light, I guess, for me.
Okay.
He wasn't really portrayed in the film just because it wasn't really relevant to the story, but we just have a strong relationship, and just thankful to have him. He really just guides me and has my best interest in heart, and you can't ever take that for granted, somebody who truly has your best interest in heart. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a line in the movie's trailer. It's a voiceover line, and it's about the importance of our struggles in life shaping us, and how if we choose to avoid struggles, we may not become who we were intended to be. So I'm just curious, one of you guys, tell me about a time in your life when you chose something you knew would be hard, but it wound up making you a better person, you know, beyond the actual 1517 to Paris, something in your life.
This is Spencer. I think for me, it was my choice to join the military and to pursue the type of career field that I thought I wanted at the time, because it ended up, you know, being one of the best things for my life. I grew up a lot. I got to have a lot of crazy experiences, and it ultimately gave me the skills I needed and put me in the place at the right time to help people out. So
sure. And Alec, I think you said you spent 9 months in Afghanistan. What was that experience like for you, and how does that time there still stay with you today?
I think the experience just helped me as a person realize what's important in life, because I mean, after seeing how the people live over there, it makes you incredibly grateful for what you have in the States, and really just a lot of the sacrifice that people have to go through. And I think that really into life, especially after the train incident, just because we realized how lucky we got and how grateful we were just to be alive. And I mean, that all has just shaped how I felt since then and who I am now today in a way.
Sure. I'm talking to Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone. They are the stars and subjects of the Clint Eastwood-directed movie, The 1517 to Paris. You know, there was a book, a famous book a few years ago called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I'm curious, when you faced a life-or-death situation like you three have, do you still get anxious about ordinary stuff, or does fear, have you learned to control your fear better?
Yeah, not at all. It's almost smooth sailing from here. It's like we kind of cavalier about it. It's like we survived the terrorist attack, like not in an arrogant way, but it's just like none of the small stuff matters. Like stuff that, I don't know, people just get upset about in their everyday lives and kind of let that throw them off. We're just still lucky and blessed to be alive, so we're just kind of take everything in stride and just know that it could be worse, that's for sure.
Sure. Well, I saw the three of you on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That was a great couple of episodes. You won $250,000. Were you nervous about that at all, or were you calm and cool there too?
Nah, we were just letting it ride.
That was honestly probably one of the funnest single days we've had since then. The host, Chris Harrison, was absolutely fantastic. It was such a great time. We had a blast.
Right. And Alec?
We thought going in there, we were just like, okay, we just can't be one of the people that gets the first question wrong.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right. As long as we get past that, then we're good. And then, so as far as we made it, I mean, we were just like in shock every time we got a question right. We were just like, what is happening right now?
It was fun to watch. And Alec, you did Dancing with the Stars. Again, no nerves there, no fear?
Oh, there's definitely nerves. I did not know what I was doing in the least. So, yeah, I was really worried, but honestly, it became super fun, and I loved every minute of it.
That's great. We just have a couple of minutes left, so let me just ask each of you guys, what do you hope that audiences take away from watching this movie, The 1517 to Paris?
We just hope that they take away from it just how ordinary the three of us are. I think everybody will be able to identify one of us or all three of us in the fact that we're just regular guys that were put in an extraordinary situation. And oftentimes people think it's something that just the three of us have within us, but we wanted the film to portray, and that's our story. That, you know, everybody's capable of doing the extraordinary, no matter what the obstacle is. It doesn't have to be a terrorist on a train, but if they just find themselves facing adversity, that they're capable of doing the extraordinary. It's something that's within all of us, and we hope the story portrays that and inspires people to act in times of just adversity.
Right, right. Beautifully said. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Anthony Sadler, Alex Garlatos, and Spencer Stone about the movie The 1517 to Paris. Like they said, they were three ordinary guys who rose up to be heroes in an extraordinary situation, and it's a possibility. We all have that potential within ourselves, and that's a message you'll get from the movie. So I hope everybody sees The 1517 to Paris. Anthony, Alex, Spencer, thanks so much for being on the show today. It was great having you on.
Hey, thanks for having us. Enjoyed it.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute to talk with writer Philip Kozlowski. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ-bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ-bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and if you've seen Star Wars, The Force Awakens, or The Last Jedi, you're familiar with the planet Ahch-To, where Luke Skywalker has isolated himself for many years. In reality, that is an island in Ireland called Skellig Michael, on which 12 Christian monks established a monastery over 1,000 years ago. Joining me now to talk about that history is an expert on the topic, a fellow writer from the website Alatea. Here is Philip Kozlowski. Philip, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Now, a lot of us got to know this island of Skellig Michael through seeing Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi. So I'm curious, how did this island where Luke Skywalker has been hiding out, so to speak, how did it become an important part of Christian history in real life?
Sure. Well, it's a fascinating piece of history that not a lot of people know about. But essentially, shortly after St. Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland, and kind of the centuries afterwards, monasteries started to pop up all around Ireland, and they were inspired in particular by this tradition from Egypt to go into the desert, dedicating one's life to God. And in Ireland, there's no deserts, but they have lots of places where it's really hard to get to. When it came to Skellig Michael, it's an island that's, about 7 miles off the coast of Ireland. And the monks saw it as a great place to get away from the world so that they can enter into a greater communion with God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was life like for the monks there? Because, in the movies, it looks pretty... The terrain is nice, but it's rugged and very isolated.
Yes, it certainly was not easy. It's an isolated island. It's quite small. There are no trees on the island at all. And essentially what they would, do all day is pray. And what little work they had was, to build all of their huts, by hand with stone, and to, it's a very difficult island to get to, and so food is also somewhat scarce, besides birds that were nesting there, or they did have a few, two little gardens that they were able to cultivate a little bit, but, for the most part, they really embraced the call to fast and to pray, to to do these things that intentionally cause suffering to their bodies so that they can offer that suffering up to God.
Sure.
And so it was definitely a very harsh climate, but they saw it as, offering their lives as a living sacrifice to God.
Right, right. I'm talking to Philip Kosluski about the island of Skellig Michael, which was featured in the latest Star Wars movies. It's the island of Ahch-To in the movies where Luke Skywalker has been isolating himself. So I'm curious, do you see any similarities between the real monks of Skellig Michael and the Jedi of Star Wars?
Certainly. It's actually quite, and you could say providential that the filmmakers, when they were going to make the new Star Wars films, that they chose Skellig Michael to be this place where, supposedly is the first Jedi temple in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Jedi, while in some ways they are similar to, they teach kind of a doctrine that's very similar to Buddhist teachings, they mm-hmm. also were, at least in the eyes of George Lucas, fashioned after these warrior monks of this early Christianity. And what I mean is the monks in the first few centuries of Christianity saw themselves as waging this spiritual battle, not only kind of in the interior life, so struggles against temptations, but also in kind of the greater spiritual cosmos, the fight of good and evil,
mm-hmm.
With angels and demons. And so, there's that connection there of these monks on Skellig Michael were, they saw themselves as warriors, spiritual warriors, and the Jedi in the Star Wars universe in a similar way, are these kind of pillars of the galaxy that fight for truth, justice, and peace.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it sounds like that background sounds like it's rife for storytelling, and I know that you are working on a comic book about Skellig Michael. So tell us about that.
Sure. When I kind of encountered this island through the Star Wars universe, I wanted to kind of dig further, learn a little bit more about the actual island itself, and then in doing so, I kind of discovered it's just such an amazing story of these monks who, gave everything up to lead this life
mm-hmm.
Of isolation. And I believe their story was a great story to tell, not only or in a kind of a visual manner. So what I decided to do is to compile a team to create a comic book where, In a way, it would tell the story of these monks, over 1,000 years ago, but it would do such a way where it kind of bridges the gap between, Christianity and Star Wars, kind of, because a lot of people in the Star Wars community they love comic books, and
mm-hmm.
so this is kind of a perfect bridge between the two worlds.
Sure, sure. Well, where can people go to find out more about your writings about Skellig Michael and also about the comic book?
Sure. The place to go is lastmonks.com. So that's www.lastmonks.com. And there you'll find everything about, the monks who live there, then also about our upcoming comic book that will be released later this year.
Sure. Now, I gather from what you've said, you haven't ever been to Skellig Michael, but I'm curious, do you have hopes to go one day and see it for yourself? Because I read that there's a thriving tourist industry now since Star Wars shot there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have never been able to be there in person, but certainly I do hope someday, learning so much about it and bringing it to life through our story and through the comic book, that it would be a great place, and it's also it's a great it's always been a place of spiritual pilgrimage, and I think it would be wonderful place to get to someday.
Right, right. I'm talking to Philip Kosluski. He is a fellow writer at the website Alatea. He's also documenting the history of Skellig Michael, the Irish island featured in the Star Wars movies. Just in our final minute, Philip, just tell me, you know, at the Christophers, we have the motto that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. So I'm just curious, how would you almost look at the history of the monks of Skellig Michael and see how they were lighting a candle and what they did as opposed to cursing the darkness?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, at the time, they saw their life as, you know, seeking, you know, doing something greater than themselves. And they wanted to wrestle with those demons that are within themselves, but also to, in a certain sense, protect the world from the evil outside through their prayers and sacrifices. And, you know, giving up the world is certainly, it's not, they didn't, you know, curse the world or shun the world, but they were doing it as a sacrifice, you know, mm-hmm. in honor of union with Christ. Not saying that the world is a bad thing, but they wanted to protect the world from those spiritual forces that we don't usually see.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Philip Kosluski. We're talking about the island of Skellig Michael, which you know from the Star Wars movies, and maybe you didn't know about its Christian history, but we hope we enlightened you a little bit today. And like Philip said, you can go to the website lastmonks.com for more information about what we've been discussing today. Philip, thanks so much for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Now, before we end today's show, here's another message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When it comes to what's going on in our personal relationships or the world around us, we often give in to the human tendencies to hear only what we want to hear, to make snap judgments, or to engage in wishful thinking. But God gave us the powers of intelligence, reason, and creativity so we can make up our minds after considering the whole truth. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly. It offers insights on thinking objectively before you act, taking a look at your own faults, learning from past mistakes, and more. To request your free copy of Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.